Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
A mid-morning dance with the devil from the Farmer of Fury.
Dangerous mid-morning debate with the Great Dictator.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham right here on Talk Radio. It's all over. We are a vassal state. We can't accept the deal. Only losers would accept such a surrender. The screeching is reaching fever pitch in Westminster today after Prime Minister Theresa May wrong-footed everyone last night by announcing a deal for Brexit has indeed been struck. After months of negotiations and dire predictions that no deal was where we were headed, there is in fact a deal. And of course, no one likes it. The funniest thing about all of it is watching the likes of Boris Johnson and Jacob Rees-Mogg throwing their toys out of the pram and attempting to force Theresa May out of Downing Street. They might well be successful. We'll bring you every twist and turn of the process leading up to today's cabinet meeting at 2 o'clock and, of course, Prime Minister's questions at midday. 0344 499 1000. Ross Kempsall, Talk Radio's political editor, will be all over it. He'll be feeding us all the information that you will ever need to know. Because what's interesting to me is that despite everyone being an expert on this Brexit business, not one of them told us that this was likely to happen. Dawn Neesham is back. We'll be finding out what she makes of the I'm a Celeb lineup. Plus, why is it that we forget names when we can remember faces? And I'll be asking just what are all our local councils doing with the 41 million quid they're collecting in bus lane fines. 0344 499 1000. You're listening to me, Mike Graham, and Dawn Neesham on Talk Radio.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Well, Dawn, how nice to see you. Very nice to have you back from holidays.
It's marvellous to be back.
And you've been in Europe, of course, haven't you?
I have been in Europe.
How was Europe?
So it was marvellous.
Was it still there?
It was still there. Yeah. No one's stockpiling anything. Right. I didn't need visas and I wasn't shot at the border.
Good. It doesn't look any different. No, visa remains the same.
It does, but I want words with you, Graham. Because
why?
I get back in here.
Yeah.
Post-holiday, yeah. Not in a good mood.
Okay, it's not my fault you're not in a good mood.
You want me to talk about the B word?
Yeah, I don't normally like you to talk about the B word. Because I know it bores you senseless.
It bores everyone senseless.
This is why I'm so excited.
2 years to talk about this.
But this is why. But isn't it great, though? Which is one of the. I have several reasons to be happy this morning, right?
You do look a bit happy.
Schadenfreude is what I like. Because I like the fact that we've got hundreds of journalists, you know, thousands of political pundits, millions of people from Brussels to Dover telling us all about what's going to happen when Brexit happens. Not one of them knew that yesterday afternoon Theresa May was going to come out of Downing Street waving what some people think is a white flag, other people think is a bit of paper, saying, oh, we've got a deal, actually.
They've never known, Mike. Not one of them knew a sausage about it. They've spent 2 years talking utter rubbish.
Exactly right.
Boring us all senseless. Mm. Just get on with it now.
Exactly, just get on with it. What I find also very amusing, it's making me very happy, is the fact that
Brexiteers,
there's nothing wrong with being happy. It's Wednesday, the sun is shining. I don't know why you're not happy.
But you're normally grumpy. I'm not used to this.
Maybe we'll have a little reversal of role scenario.
Right,
what's wrong with that? You see, you call me grumpy all the time, but in fact, I'm not actually ever grumpy. I mean, I have been grumpy at times.
You do a very good act, then.
I do an incredibly good act.
You're very good at acting.
Don't you believe it. Now, here's the thing. All these other Brexiteers, right, who've spent most of the last 2 years moaning on about Ramona, saying, why don't you just accept the deal? Why don't you just accept that the British public have voted to leave the European Union? And why don't you just accept the terms under which that's what's going to happen? And of course, now they're doing exactly what they've been criticising everybody else by doing, by saying, oh, we don't like the deal. We don't think it's any good. We think we should rather blow up Downing Street, blow up the Prime Minister and blow up the government and try in order to get what we want.
I mean, that idiot Bojo even gave a press conference
saying,
I don't like it. I don't like this. And it's like, well, you don't actually know what it says yet, mate. How can you not like it?
Exactly. He claims that we are going to be a vassal state. Well, I'm sorry, Boris, but Boris only cares about one thing, and that is Boris Johnson. And I mean, the idea that we all unite behind a guy who is such a narcissist that he deliberately dresses down to make us think that he's not a a toff.
He ruffles his hair before he goes into meeting.
Exactly.
This is a guy who is
not what he appears to be, ladies and gentlemen. Do not rally behind him, I can tell you that.
Mind you, did sneak the word vassal in there, didn't he?
He did, vassal, yeah. As I did, in fact. Yeah. I thought vassal used to play for Watford, but that's another story. Let's talk to Paul Scully, Tory Vice Chair for London, MP for Sutton and Cheam. Paul, a very good morning to you. Welcome.
Morning to you, Mike.
Hello, Paul.
Now, hopefully you can make some sense out of this for us, because, to be honest, the one thing that I find amusing out of all of this is that nobody saw this coming. Nobody knew. Nobody telegraphed it. Nobody started leaking it. Suddenly, we just had a deal. And here we are now having to deal with a deal.
Deal with a deal, which is an important thing to do. Yeah, I think we knew that the end game was coming up. I was just speaking to Dominic Raab, Brexit Secretary, yesterday, and we thought it might be in a few days, but to come that quickly suggests a bit of optimism. Suggests that they've actually hopefully seen a bit of sense and talking about the backstops to the backstop and all that sort of thing, cut through it all and get something that we can all live with.
Now, you're probably more on the Brexit side than you are on the Remain side, aren't you? But I mean, the bottom line is surely those Brexiteers who are now moaning they don't like the deal should shut up and put up and get on with it, shouldn't they?
Well, people that are moaning about the deal that they don't like, they need to read it first because it's not even been published.
That's the point, Paul. They don't know what's in it yet, do they?
No, absolutely. So I'm not sure why people need to, people just need to calm down, keep their heads, actually read the detail. As MPs, it's now come from this sort of rumour mill type thing that's going on across the channel to us. When we get something in black and white, people are going to be looking for us to actually read it, get the detail, put it across to them exactly what it means to people that voted however they voted in the referendum and deal with it in the best interest of the country.
Theresa's done the right thing by calling them all in individually and letting them read it in the office and talking them down from whatever panic stations they were on. Is that the right thing she's done there?
Well, I think, yeah, because it's going to be complicated because there are literally things that they were stuck on in the negotiations that is sort of almost semantics, because things like this backstop, the customs union, what have you, they were saying, well, we all want to know when we're going to get out of that and get into a new free trade deal. But you can't put a date on it because of extra complications. So you have to effectively work out how we're going to end it without putting a date in to when we're going to end it, which is a seemingly impossible task. And I've no idea yet how they've managed to achieve that. So,
but isn't that what negotiations all about, Paul? I mean, isn't it more sensible? Isn't it more sensible to put something down on paper and say, look, this is where we're heading. This is the first stage of where we're getting to. The idea that we suddenly bring a sort of drawbridge up and say, right, that's it. No more conversations about this with the European Union. And if it hasn't been done by then we're pulling the drawbridge up no matter who's going to fall in the moat. It's kind of mad, isn't it?
Well, I think, but that's the shortfall of Article 50. Article 50, the thing that was written into the Lisbon Treaty to allow people to leave for the first time ever, they had a mechanism to leave. It wasn't actually really designed.
Yeah. I don't remember us having a referendum on that. Do you?
No, and we should have done. So, if we had, then we wouldn't have been in the situation at the time. Now.
Right. Now, what about what Theresa May is up to? Because, as Dawn quite rightly points out, she's having all of the different cabinet ministers in one at a time. Some who are slightly more suspicious, perhaps, than we are, would suggest that she's telling them all one thing and telling somebody else something different.
Well, it's going to be down on a bit of paper. So I would expect it to be explanation rather than that.
What I mean by that, Paul, is that she's obviously going to be having a conversation with them about what it means, either if for them individually, particularly people who might be thinking about voting against it. Presumably she's going to have to offer them some reason why they shouldn't.
I think the reason they shouldn't is because we're in a tricky situation if they don't. I'm not talking about their personal careers. I mean, for the country, because if we get tied up for the next few months in some sort of parliamentary arithmetic, when people just want Brexit to be done, people will rightly be looking at us thinking, crikey, guys, what are you doing?
Well, that's exactly what's been going on, though,
Paul. Decisions.
But that's exactly what's been going on, and why would it suddenly stop now?
It has, Mike, but what I think it is that, as I say, people have been arguing about something that I haven't actually seen because it's been going on in behind closed doors in Brussels, in the negotiations. Now, for the first time, we are going to actually have the document that we can see. So it will be our responsibility, it will be my responsibility, how I vote on behalf of my constituents, on behalf of the country, and people can then point the finger at me, not just Brussels or not the establishment or anything like that. This is when I have to stand up and be accountable, and each MP has to do the same thing.
Right, Paul, so she's got the cabinet showdown this afternoon, I think around about 2 o'clock, isn't it? Do you think she will get the backing of the cabinet?
I suspect so. I mean, again, I haven't read it, so I don't know, you know, if there's any controversial bits in there, but I suspect so. You know, there's nothing overnight that's been suggesting or leaking that there's any huge amounts of consternation that there's a bomb going to go off somewhere. But, you know, I would hope, therefore, that people could have a reason to look at it, and we can then move on to the next stage.
When are they going to let the likes of you, riffraff, Paul, look at it? I mean, after all, you're only the Tory vice chair for London. When are you going to get a chance to see it?
Hey? Frankly, I haven't got a clue.
How far down the food chain are you?
Way down the food chain, I'm afraid. Yeah, exactly.
That's a shocking state of affairs. Now, what about the DUP? It seems to me that Theresa May has worked out that they don't matter very much because they're not very happy and they are very unlikely to vote for this. But presumably she knows that and she's basically sticking two fingers up to them.
Well, I think, you know, like, I think just reading what Arlene Foster put out overnight, she was saying it could be this. Again, it's sort of coulds and shoulds rather than this is what's going to happen and that's what's going to happen. So I don't know how much how many conversations they've had in detail of what's actually been agreed rather than what might be agreed in advance. So, I think she's got an incredibly difficult task ahead of her, and she's done incredibly well to get to this point, frankly, when it's a seemingly impossible task to keep everybody happy, including the DUP. When Northern Ireland border, we managed to get stuck on something we thought was going to be fine 18 months ago, but it really has escalated quite quickly.
Yeah, and I don't remember anyone mentioning it when
we
voted originally. Like, well, better than the Northern Ireland border. No one actually said that. No, I didn't actually think about that at all.
No.
Call me stupid.
But I'm beginning to wonder whether that was deliberate, that they deliberately didn't bring it up. Surely they couldn't have been so stupid as not to have thought about it.
It was talked about during the referendum. It wasn't big, mainly because that's, you know what, the thing is with the referendum, I think there were three pillars that people voted on. Sovereignty, that's why I voted to leave. I wanted to leave the political institutions.
Right.
So you've got sovereignty, immigration and trade. Sovereignty and immigration you can deal with when we leave anyway, but trade takes two people. You need someone to buy, someone to sell. And so that's the thing we need to be negotiating, which is why all of this is all about trade deals, and it's all linked to that. Whereas actually, the reasons that most people voted to leave was based on that other side. You know, was based on the things that we are going to sort out anyway.
Well, except you say that, Paul, but I mean, it looks as though now the way the deal has been done, or at least the way that we understand the deal has been done, immigration and sovereignty is actually a two-party process as well, because the EU will tell us when we can have sovereignty, and they will also tell us when we can let European Union residents into Europe, whether we can let British residents stay in the EU and live there. You know, it seems like it's a two-party process. It's not just us that's deciding that.
Well, I think, you know, if you're leaving, freedom of movement ends. I think that's the key thing. Freedom of movement ends. That was what people were looking at, which allows us to. So what we've got to work out, we've got to finish off this idea about the EU citizens already living here and the British citizens already living in the EU. That's the thing that really needs to be nailed and settled. And I hope that's going to be fully covered in this agreement.
And what happens if she doesn't get the backing of the cabinet this afternoon? Will she have to resign?
Well, it's going to be a tricky situation, and that's really speculation. But I mean, like, to be fair, just changing leaders isn't really going to change much of a situation.
No, because who do you swap her for?
That's a yes, then, is it, Paul?
Well, no, I'm just saying, because if you think it through, you've still got the same parliamentary arithmetic. You can't just sort of reopen a whole negotiation. What I'd never understand with people that are with MPs that have been speculating from either side of the agenda, whether it's, you know, the Remainers that want to have their Bobby Ewing moment and pretend it never happened, or the sort of the Leavers want to leave without a deal, just to say, you know what, the PM wake up one morning and say, oh crikey, you know, I was wrong, you were right all along, I was wrong, just rip up what she's got in front of her. It's just not going to happen.
It can't happen, so, can it? I mean, that would be madness.
But then people have been removed from office as Prime Minister for less than messing up the deal that they were handed to do a good deal with.
Two things. We've got, you know, the complications of our leadership system means that people put letters in. They have to have a no confidence. There's no way half of the party are going to no confidence Theresa May, and that means she'll be in for the next year. And if she, you know, if she did go, within the next day or two, something like that, you have to have a competition. That means that we, as a Conservative Party, will be navel gazing. We'll be talking amongst ourselves about our leader over the next month or two, at a crucial point when people in this country just want us to get on and get the best deal possible for us.
And is the best deal possible what we currently have, do you think? Because there are those who say, a few months ago, Theresa May was saying no deal is better than a bad deal. Right now she's saying a bad deal is better than no deal. So which is it?
Well, look, I think that, you know, if you start from the premise, and say, I haven't read it, so I've no idea, but if you start from the premise of the white paper that came out over the summer, I was saying at the time, it's not what I would have wanted. I'm the sort of guy that, you know, I'm a Canada plus kind of guy, but I'm a pragmatist. And so I could deal with what's in there. And I'm hoping that this paper, the fact that they've managed to get it through relatively quickly after, as you say, it ramped up over the last few days, means that we've got to a point where things haven't been too diluted. We've got some sensible compromises from both sides that actually means that we are leaving the institutions. We're stopping paying money into the system. We can still do our trade deals, albeit maybe curtailed and taking a little bit longer to get to those points. We end freedom of movement. So we're ticking all those boxes that people did vote to leave back 2 years ago.
Mm.
And where do Labour and Jeremy Corbyn stand in all of this? What game are they playing?
Well, this is the problem, because they've got the six tests, which are impossible, because one of the tests is that we enjoy the exact same benefits as a membership of the EU. Well, that's like sort of being a member of a golf course and then leaving it and wanting to still play on the golf course. You can't do it.
Mm.
You might be able to pay green fees and stuff like that, pay on there, but... crikey, how bourgeois middle class of me. Sorry about that. Golf
club. Yeah, well, you do live in Stockbroker Belt, Surrey, Paul, don't you? How about the point about the seventh one that nobody ever mentions, which is, you know, Jeremy Corbyn would like the letter N stricken from the English language. I mean, they would give you as many tests as possible to make sure that you didn't pass them, wouldn't they?
Well, because what I was going to say actually is, well, all they want is a general election. This is political for them.
Yeah.
So even if it was something absolutely ideal for them, they would say, no, we want to cause a general election. We want to cause a general election. That's all they're interested in, which again isn't, in my view, in the best interest of the country. So, similarly, the Lib Dems just want us to have another referendum, and they want to keep refighting 2 years ago, basically.
Mm.
So, really, you've got the only game in town is Prime Minister's offer and what us working for the best interest of the country.
I think pragmatism is the way forward, for sure. Let me ask you this one final question, because it's a tweet from a listener who's called 61. If the Brexit deal includes control of money, laws and the ability to do our own trade deals, then it's Brexit. If not, it's not. Is that right?
Yeah, fair enough. That's pretty well it. Yeah. Mm,
okay. Good. No, well, Paul, listen,
there may be pooled sovereignty, but we choose to do it, like we do with NATO and those kind of things. But yeah, you know, you're absolutely right.
Okay. Paul Scully, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks,
Tory Vice Chair for London, MP for Sutton and Cheam, talking about golf courses, talking about Canada, talking about the EU deal. This is the deal we've got. He thinks we should stick with it.
Confusion. It's such a terrible shame. Confusion. You don't know what you're saying. You've lost your love.
This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. It's just after 10:30 in the morning. We've got Prime Minister's questions at midday. There's a cabinet meeting at 2 o'clock. Theresa May is having to try and convince everybody that this is a great deal for them. She's having all of the cabinet ministers in one by one, filing in one after the other. I can't help but think, but that's only because I've worked in the media for such a long
time,
that there's all sorts of jiggery pokery and skullduggery.
Doing a few deals.
Yeah,
well, she said.
Absolutely.
Our Tesla's going, mate.
Well, how many times have you been through this, right, where there's a whole kind of, you know, cost-cutting exercise going on, and they go, right, you come in over here, we'll tell you this, and then you come in over there, we'll tell you that. You know what I mean? And that kind of thing happens in newspapers. Happens all the time.
No.
I've been on the receiving end of it and on the giving out end of it, and the point is that, you know, you have to, if you're running that, you have to tell people different things, otherwise it doesn't work.
Of course you do. Otherwise, you know, it's diplomacy.
Yeah, of course it is.
Never my strong point.
So all the people who are being told, basically, you know, we want you to go along with this and vote for it, if they don't like it, this is now their chance to get something in return.
Yeah.
So Penny Mordaunt will be going in saying, well, what would you like, Penny? Now, Penny might say any number of things, but she will get something out of this.
She
in
will.
The same way, so will Arlene Foster, so
Andrew
will DUP,
Lobson.
Andrew Leadsom, they all will.
They will.
So that's where we are.
Yeah.
We want to hear from you, though, as well. 03444991000. Let's talk to Ross Campsall. He's going to have a very busy day. He is, of course, Talk Radio's political editor. Ross, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Mike.
Hi,
so,
Ross.
Very exciting times, these, aren't they? Because, I mean, particularly for those of us who are not quite as enthusiastic as Dawn is about Brexit. But,
Ross,
you know, it's going to be a fascinating day because of all the different shenanigans going on. What are you hearing down in Westminster this morning?
We're still very much, I think, Mike, in everything or nothing territory. I think either the Prime Minister gets this deal through Cabinet this afternoon with very little public opposition from her Cabinet, that all the Cabinet Ministers then fall in line behind her with perhaps, I'm hearing this morning, the exception of Penny Mordaunt, who really is the only Cabinet Minister so far who even privately it is being speculated that she could walk today. I think there was some concern overnight about Dominic Raab. That seems to have, according to my sources, slightly rowed back in the last few hours. It's still very much a game of seeing what happens with who resigns, if they do and when. If they do, then of course that is a potential disaster for Theresa May. But on the other hand, if everybody falls in line, all it really does is transfer the pressure to a few weeks' time or perhaps a couple of months' time when we have the vote in the House of Commons, potentially in December.
I was saying earlier that it seems to me that, Theresa May has taken a punt here. She's basically taken a view that the Remainers are better to appease than the Brexiteers, it seems, and also that the DUP don't matter as much as they think they do.
Yeah, there are two elements to this gamble for Theresa May. I think the first is that she can say, look, in the national interest, this is the best possible deal we're going to get. A Number 10 source briefed me this morning. The phrase that they used was, we really pushed them down to the wire. Mm. We've pushed them to the 11th hour. That will be the first strategy from Number 10, will be to say, look, this is good as it gets. It's not going to get any better. Are you really going to upset the apple cart now when Brexit deal is within touching distance, we're being told, when in December, we know that we could potentially get this through the House of Commons. The challenge from Number 10 to those ministers will be, are you going to pull the trigger on this? Basically, do you think you are hard enough to do this? The second element that will very much, I think, be coming through today from Theresa May is that not only is this, she will argue, in the national interest, it will be, as you say, a game of bargaining. It will be a game of trying to keep people and get people on side. And much of that, Mike, will have already happened. It won't be taking place today. It will have taken place behind the scenes in the past few weeks. We don't know what the details will be on that. But by goodness, we will when we see in the next month what transpires and who's been brought on side, to what extent and in what way and at what price.
Indeed. Thank you very much indeed. Ross Kempsall there reporting in from Westminster. He'll be on throughout the day here at Talk Radio, of course. Political editor Samantha says, transition is OK as long as we're not stuck in it for good. Out of the Customs Union, out of the single market, no jurisdiction of the ECJ, keeping our own money, making trade deals with who we want, including the EU, who obviously need the latter too. We'll see. I'm sceptical. Well, I think it's right to be sceptical.
Sceptical's good.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But cynical, not so good.
Cynical, not so good. Sceptical's fine. Mm-hmm. And just sticking your heels in and burying your head in the sand and going, la, la, yeah, la, la, I'm not doing this,
yeah,
not doing this.
Quite a difficult manoeuvre that as well.
You have to do something. No,
digging your heels in and sticking your head in the sand. Yeah, well, I can't do that.
Well, I'll
don't
give
tell
you
me you're going to teach
later
me how to stick my head in the sand. Let's talk to Ralph, who's in Mansfield. Hello, Ralph.
Hello,
Ralph.
Blimey,
yeah,
Ralph.
Hi. How are you doing? What do you want to tell us?
Well, I was just... I mean, your political bloke there has stolen my thunder a bit, but...
That's his job.
I'm amazed that there's been no sort of definitive advice on the sort of parliamentary mechanism. Mm. I mean, the Remain side are banking on Parliament seeing its senses and getting some sort of a second referendum.
Yeah.
The Brexiteers are praying that we're going to crash out without a deal and nothing will affect that. But nobody seems to know for sure. And
no,
that's
going
the
to be
point.
Voting on that basis. I mean, I presume there's going to be some legal in the chamber when the PM presents this to Parliament.
Well, you'd like to think that there would be a legal on the opposition side to actually properly question the Prime Minister instead
case,
of mentioning
they?
Something that's going on in Venezuela, you know. But I
know,
I very much doubt
to speak with one voice.
Well, I very much doubt that they will. But I think, Ralph, we can be pretty sure, regardless of how low in our esteem politicians are held in this country, that they will have gone through this with a legal fine tooth comb, that they will have worked it out. And it is remarkably complicated, Ralph, as well. And I think we have to understand that it's not like signing, you know, a contract of employment. It's not like signing a bank statement. It's not like signing anything in the world that you've ever signed. You know, it's incredibly... I mean, I was looking at the 500-page document and the draft version of that, which was around a few months ago, and the numbers of yellow lines in it which were agreed, number of green lines in it which were not agreed. You know, I mean, it's very, very tricky. So I think in order to move forward, as Dawn said earlier, I think we have to move forward and then take it to the next stage. And then, if you're not happy with that, then change again.
We're keen leavers, and I'm firmly sat sort of in the middle. I didn't know whether to vote leave or remain, but like many people, let's get on with it, let's do it. And I'll just be amazed if egos take over common sense now. That would be my sort of
but
word.
I think, Ralph, they already have. I think the problem with a lot of the politicians we've got making this decision on our behalf, it is all about their egos. I think Theresa May is actually a bit of an exception to that, I must admit.
And I think we live in exceptional times when people are allowed to go over and, to me, just seems like collaborate with a foreign power, and it's never brought into question that this is an act of betrayal. It's never mentioned, although as though it's some sort of massive taboo. Seems incredible.
It does seem incredible. I mean, what's your sense, Ralph? Are you happy to go along with it up to a point, or are you happy to go along with it all the way?
I've not seen it. I'll probably never read it.
Well, you're never going to read it, are you?
Like you giving me the...
we'll give you the best bits of it.
You know.
But, what if they publish it for Christmas, so you can buy it as a Christmas present?
I think it's a massive... It'll be a massive relief. I never really wanted to try and go it completely alone, because I think that would be too suck it and see. And I just think... You know, if we get rid of freedom of movement, if we enable we're enabled to make trade deals to some extent.
Yeah.
I think there's a big wide world out there and a developing world that we're not going to tap into, staying in the EU, which is showing a decline in growth year on year.
I think the EU have behaved absolutely appallingly throughout this negotiation process. Finished off by that idiot guy, Verstappen, or whatever his name is. I know that's not his name, but I'm saying it wrong deliberately, who claimed yesterday that, you know, they might need an EU army to stand up against the foes such as China, Russia and America.
What a complete
plank that guy is. Ralph, thank you very much indeed. Ralph, with some very interesting points to make. Sean says, do you remember when I said it's likely Cabinet will fall into line? Pressure now goes on to Parliament, and you're correct. It's a massive gamble from May, which, in my opinion, will backfire. Well, we shall see. Paddy's in Suffolk. Hello, Paddy.
Yeah, good morning.
Hi,
good morning. What do you reckon, man?
Well, possibly this Northern Irish thing is a distraction, a red herring brought in deliberately, because we've already got a VAT border there.
Uh-huh.
We've already got a tax border.
Yeah.
I can't see it being a problem.
But, well, lots of other people can, Paddy. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. You know, it's not quite as straightforward as it is to you and me, but to everybody else.
But being someone who's brought up there, I've probably got a good handle on how things are there.
I'm sure you do.
But moving on from that, I think the real thing is that perhaps the EU have got something that's quite secret, actually.
What do you mean?
Well, have you heard of PESCO?
No. I've heard of Tesco.
PESCO.
Right, no, is that like Tesco?
Well... I keep asking people to Google stuff, but ironically,
don't ask me to Google things.
Don't do that.
I never use Google ever.
Good,
because it's full of ads.
Yeah, okay.
If you're going to do a search, use something called DuckDuckGo.
DuckDuckGo. Okay, great. Yes. Thanks, Paddy. Why don't you go now? Let's talk to John, who's in Spain. Hello, John.
Yeah. Hi. Morning.
Yeah. Hi. What do you want to say?
Hi.
Just a slight criticism.
Yeah.
Tongue in cheek. I mean, you started off this morning quite rightly saying they're all coming out with this nonsense, Johnson, whatever, nobody even read it yet.
Mm.
And here we are, half an hour discussing, and we're doing exactly the same.
Well, not exactly, no, because I'm not telling people that we are going to become a vassal state, and nor indeed am I saying that it's a ghastly surrender.
Yeah, well, okay, I'm snookered then.
Yeah, you are. Never mind.
but, John, you gave him the opportunity to use a red... vassal in there again.
Yeah, there
I'm
we
impressive.
Are. That's three times I think I've said vassal. And I don't think...
I would have thought being an old chap, I'd have thought Vaseline was more in his line, really. But there you go.
Well, thanks, John. I don't think we should go down that particular road, but there we are. You may have to be repatriated out of Spain if you carry on like that.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Come on, we'll get the bus. If we leave pretty soon now, I can't go to the club, cos I've not got much money. So I'll see you when I see you.
You won't believe this one, right? This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. Dawn Neeson is here. Phil has sent us this. Outrage as more than 60 motorists fined for driving in a bus lane to avoid a car accident during rush hour.
Yeah.
How about that?
Exactly.
Councillors refusing to refund the penalties because alternative routes were available, they claim, despite drivers claiming surrounding streets were, in fact, gridlocked. This is in Stoke-on-Trent, at the centre of a dispute between the council and 60 motorists. Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. It's just a tax, isn't it? I'm sorry. It's just a tax on the motorists because there's an easy target.
Now, rather unfairly as well, I'm going to read this out. TMU says, I didn't realise Roy Hodgson was so up on bus lane fines. Great to have him on, though.
That was
that's a bit harsh,
bit unfair.
Terrible thing to say. Let's talk to Andy, who's in Bristol. Hello, Andy.
And good morning.
Good morning.
What do you want to talk to us? Oh, you want to talk to us about Brexit? Don't upset Dawn
now.
Oh,
God. Andy, go away. Go away now.
She doesn't like it, but carry on, Andy. Have your say.
Quickly.
Yeah, well, I did ring earlier, but basically, I am a Leave person. But I do feel that the Prime Minister's done the best of a bad job.
Yes.
Considering the people she's got around her who are supposed to support her. And this talk about another referendum is a total waste of time because it's going to be another 50-50 vote, isn't it? Either one way or the other.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, it will be.
It's just not worth it. It's a waste of time, a waste of money, and let's just move on, right?
Well, yes, but the thing I do feel, and quite strongly about, and you're not going to like this,
right.
But I do feel that if she doesn't get the support over what is logistically an enormous problem, it shows that people really do not understand the logistics of running a country with the movement of goods in and out of the country. But anyway, besides that, I do feel that if she doesn't get the support and she's in a cleft, then I would just call a general election.
Oh, really? My Lord!
Yeah, but then you're just opening the door for the Labour Party, aren't you?
I'm opening the door for democracy because I do feel that they should support her and get this thing through Parliament. Whether it's excellent or not, I don't know, and nobody knows. But I think we've all had enough with it. But I've had enough with politicians.
Yeah.
Hear, hear.
And I think that an election would sort a lot of them out.
But would it, though?
No, because
we'd
just get more politicians.
All we'd get then, Andy, is wall-to-wall coverage of an election.
Yeah.
And all you'd get is the politicians still not doing their jobs. And don't forget, we elected these people to run the country, OK? So far, they're failing to run the country because they're so bogged down in one single subject that they can't seem to agree on. If we give them the opportunity to have an election, which is basically their cup final, they love it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all they do is go from pillar to post telling you how great they are and then breaking a load of promises later on. So I'm not sure
meanwhile,
that election is the answer.
What's happening to the country?
Well, exactly.
Meanwhile,
there's a flaw there, Andy, isn't there?
I disagree. I do feel that it's one of those issues, and because of no support, you cannot run a government on no support.
No, I get
that. And there are too many people within this government who feel that they can do a better job.
Yeah, but don't forget,
none of them want to take the mantle up.
No.
No.
Because it's a poison chalice.
It really is.
Yeah, also, Andy, though, when you say no support, we heard earlier from our Paul Scully MP that she's got plenty of support in the parliamentary party. She just doesn't have it in the cabinet, perhaps. Andy, thanks for your call.
Thanks,
let's talk
Andy.
To Mike in York. Hello, Mike.
Hiya.
Hi, Mike.
You what do you want to say?
Well, what I'm going to say is, my feelings on what I've heard so far through RTE, and there seems to be quite a few, and if it's true, my question to any of those people who are in a position of decision making is, if we have another election, general election, and UKIP become, if you like, a major player.
What, like the SNP did?
Yeah.
That didn't go well, did it? Couldn't even get themselves independence.
Are there any UKIP left?
Well, there aren't any UKIP voters left.
You're joking. Listen, you just had an election in London for a UKIPper, didn't you not?
Hey?
Did we? When was that?
Did
I miss that? I might have been asleep.
Well, we got a UKIP MP now.
No. He went for it, but he failed.
Oh, right.
Ah, right. So no one voted for him.
So as you were then.
Well, you may laugh, right, but in the north.
Oh, right. You got the MPs in the north from UKIP.
We're very strong.
Yeah, but you haven't got any MPs, Mike.
Mike, give us a chance to speak.
Go on. Hurry up, then.
We have a general election. UKIP do very well and become a decision-making unit, just like the DUP.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Right. My question would be, to any of those people who are going to make this decision this next fortnight, is, if we are in that position and we want to come out of it,
uh-huh,
as a sovereign democratic nation, can we come out of that decision that they're making now?
In what sense?
Just like Donald Trump, bad deal, no longer doing it.
Well, no, because it doesn't work like that. It doesn't even work like that for Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump makes out that he could sign an executive order and change the world. That's not the way it works. He has to get it through Congress. Same for us. If we have a deal with Brexit, we keep to the deal. You don't just suddenly change it in Parliament because Parliament doesn't like it anymore. That's exactly what people are complaining about, who say they want a second referendum. So you can't keep going flip-flopping backwards and forwards because you don't like the outcome.
So we're condemned to serfdom for the rest of our lives.
Well, you can put it that way, but I don't think life is that bad in Yorkshire, to be honest.
It's lovely up here.
Move south.
The smell is down in London, I think.
Well, I mean, you tell me what the smell is
like.
Great to talk
about, Mike. I had a wash this morning.
It's very harsh, that, Mike, but thanks for your call as ever.
Thanks, Mike.
Hypothetical situations are not worth conversing about.
My head's just exploded now.
Yeah,
sorry.
You know, also UKIP, the problem with UKIP is that, yes, they got 4 million votes in an election. Yeah. However, they didn't get representation because they tend to win and come second in places. They don't win places. They come second in places, like Lib Dems always do. So they get lots of votes, but they don't get any seats.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's just the parliamentary system.
I don't think they really,
if they really
the
wanted to succeed, they could campaign for a different system of voting, but nobody wants that either. This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. You know what to do. 0344 499 1000. This song always reminds me of a holiday I took once in Turkey. And we had the resort that I was at had this wonderful sort of outdoor disco at night, because it was very hot, as you can imagine. A load of Russians staying there, right?
Yeah.
And all the Russians were gangsters, basically, because they're the ones who got any money.
Right. I was wondering what the point was.
And all their wives were standing up, punching the air, singing this song when it came on. You know, living in a gangster's paradise. And the women were incredible looking.
Oh, yeah.
They were all sort of, you know, toned, tanned, waxed to within an inch of their
but
lives.
How much of their bodies were real, right?
Well, it didn't matter to me. Didn't matter. But they were dripping in diamonds. You know, the guys were all huge, real fat guys, you know, gangsters.
Yeah.
And this was their theme tune.
Yeah. Well, it's a good theme tune if you're a gangster's mole, isn't it?
It is, indeed. Now, how about this from New Campy? There's a renowned bus lane in Glasgow that I got fined for. You either go right into a car park or straight ahead onto the bus lane. The problem is the car park shuts at night. So your only option to avoid the bus lane is to do a U-turn on a one-way street.
Which you aren't allowed to do
either. Which, of course, you can't do. So that is absolutely unbelievable. Now, the gangster part of this section of the show has to do with a new cookbook, the Big Rap Cookbook.
There is a point to everything Mike says, people,
there
by
is.
The way.
I know
sometimes I wonder, but there
sometimes
is.
You have to pay attention and stick with it and wait until the end of the sentence. But you know, I know that's hard for you.
No, I can't.
You know,
I've got the attention span of a
short attention span. Mm-hmm. Now, this book comes out next month, 9th of December, around about there. We're going to talk to the editor and the producer of the book, Samuel Fatty Hemingway. Samuel, a very good morning to you. Welcome.
Good morning to you. How are you doing?
Samuel. Yeah, very well indeed. Thank you so much for joining us from quite an exotic location, as far as
right,
I'm aware.
Yeah.
Where are you?
I'm actually in Goa, in India at the moment.
Tremendous.
And I can understand what you're saying about the Russians there. Quite a few over here as well.
Yeah, they love the old gangster rap, don't they? But what inspired you to do a cookbook based on it? Because it's not like something you would think of doing, is it?
Well, yeah, it's an idea that me and my friend had, my good friend Scott, who is the co-creator of the project with me, a.k.a. Boo the French. And we thought of the idea basically by listening to a lot of hip-hop music and hearing food-related lyrics from rappers.
Right.
And that kind of inspired us to move on with the project.
Because it's not, you know, it's not something I've listened. I mean, I don't listen to a lot of rap. I mean, you probably tell me Coolio is not very Coolio, in fact, in the rap world, because it's a bit mainstream. But I mean, apparently there's a lot of talk about food in rap songs.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of lyrics mentioned. Some of the pioneers have been talking about food since, you know, the late 80s. So it's always gone like that. If you think about back in the late 80s, there was Eric B and Rakim talking about stereo, a taper, a nice big plate of fish, which is my favourite dish, but without the money, it's still a wish.
Right.
I see, I've always assumed that the specifics of any rap song were a euphemism for something else.
No, they really are about bacon.
But they really are about fish. There you go.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
Well, it can go like that as well, but right. You read into it what you will.
So, okay. So how did you put it together? Did you go around all these famous rap artists and ask them what their favourite recipe is and then put it in the book? Is that how you've done it?
Yeah, more or less. Yeah, my friend Scott, who I run the project with, he's got quite a few connections to the industry, and a lot of people are into food as well. And we've had good responses from everyone that we've contacted, and they've given us a recipe to put in the book. Lots of different stuff, from things like Thai papaya salads to brown stew chicken, Jamaican food. Lots of vegan dishes in there as well as like juices and shakes as well. So a good variety, hopefully.
It sounds quite healthy.
It does.
I don't associate hip-hop with being that healthy, but obviously I'm wrong.
Well, yeah, you know, if you buy the book, then you can check it out, cook up some recipes.
Yeah, there's a nice one here I'm looking at, Som Tam from Thailand.
Som Tam,
I spent a few weeks in northwest Thailand getting driven around by a girl on a tiny pink moped. Is that you?
That's Jam Baxter, yeah. Well, that's not me. No, that's Jam Baxter. He's one of the main features in the book, yeah. And it's a spicy papaya salad.
Oh, that's the one you mentioned. Yeah, it's good.
That
I like that.
In Thailand.
Oh, cool.
So, how many of these recipes have you actually cooked yourself then?
We cooked about 10 or so, I think, of the recipes. Didn't have time to cook all of them, but we're going to work our way through them. And the proof's in the pudding.
Right, okay.
As it were.
How many recipes are there all together?
20 features altogether.
Wow.
Featuring artists from the UK and from the US as well. We've got some names in there like the boys from Corrupt FM, who've just got a new series on BBC as well. That's People Just Do Nothing. We've got some rappers like Master Ace from America. Guys from the UK, high-focused artists like Jam Baxter, you just mentioned, Dirty Dyke as well. He's got a nice little curry in there for you. And, a lot of guys like who've been always supporting the hip-hop and food thing, like Juggernaut and the Doppelgangers. They supported us since day one, so shout-outs to those guys.
Okay. And who gave you Fatty as a nickname? Because that's a bit cruel.
You don't look fat in the pictures.
Actually. Well, I had a little bit of puppy fat when I was young. I'm not fat anymore.
There you go.
No,
so
you're not.
Certainly getting fatter over here on a diet of tandoori chicken.
I bet you are, yeah. No, it's good. Going food is amazing. A lot of fish there as well. Now, I don't know whether you've seen it, but Snoop Dogg, over in the US, does a fantastic cooking show with Martha Stewart, who is a woman who's the least likely kind of partner you'd expect him to have. She's a very sort of uptight, you know, white woman from Connecticut.
Don't look at me like that.
Who went to jail for insider trading and therefore has got a bit of a dark side. But it's a fantastic cooking show. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Yeah, I have to check it out. It sounds like a good juxtaposition there between Snoop
it
and
is.
Martha Stewart. Yeah,
it is.
I can imagine the chemistry.
I think they actually once made, as also, or he made for her brownies, you know, with the old cannabis brownies that people like to eat.
Oh, wow.
And gave them to her to eat. It's all on YouTube. I don't think it's actually on a regular TV channel, but it's very funny.
Talking of dodgy ingredients there, Samuel, did you go to anyone and say, like, give us a recipe, and they gave you such an interesting recipe, you thought, nah, we can't include that one?
Well, when we first started out, we had a similar recipe, actually, from a guy called Stig at a Dump.
Oh, yeah.
Who made us a little brownies recipe with a little special ingredient in there. I didn't cook that one up.
No, that's not in the book then, that one, is it?
No, very good. Thank you. Now, the book's out.
We might save it for the second edition.
So the book's out on the 9th of December. Is it going to be generally available? Where do people get it?
Yeah, so it's available to pre-order now exclusively on our website, which is www.bigrapcookbook.com. And the pre-order is selling quite fast. So if you're interested in hip-hop or food or a bit of both, or you know someone that is, then it's good little stocking
filler. It's a good Christmas
filler,
present. How much is it?
It's £13.
That's not bad, is it?
Right, shipping worldwide.
And yeah. You know, because for those of us who are not as familiar with rap, perhaps, as we should be, do you have, like, recommendations of music to play while you're cooking it?
Yeah, well, any of the
or I guess just yeah, you
got in the book as well.
Yeah, okay. I guess you
a
just
lot
pick...
of them have got great backgrounds in food, so they all got good lyrics as well.
Tremendous.
Well,
listen, it's a great idea. We love it, and so good luck with it, and thanks for coming on. Enjoy the rest of your time in Goa.
Yeah, I'll go off for a little 2-for-1 pina colada now, I think.
Oh, is alcohol included, by the way?
That.
Not that I'm obsessed this week.
Now I want to go to
Goa. Any alcoholic drinks in there, in the recipe book?
Don't think so.
Yeah, we've got a couple of drinks. There's a green juice, healthy juice, and also...
No, I'm not talking healthy juices here. Come on.
It's not healthy juices after. Yeah, a few cocktails. That's how you're talking.
No cocktails this time. Well, there might be for the second.
Maybe you could do a cocktail book as well. That'd be great.
That'd be good.
Samuel, thanks very much
indeed.
Samuel Fatty Hemingway, who's not fat anymore. That's when you need to be called Fatty. When you have a nickname, it's Fatty, but you're not fat.
But
that's what you need.
I wanted to ask him what your hip-hop name would be, because evidently you've got to have a hip-hop name.
Well, why don't you make one up for me?
I can't say it live on air. I've already got one, but I can't say it live on air. Sorry.
That's just what you call me. That's not the name.
That's going to be my new hip-hop name for you.
Lots more hip-hop coming up later on. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the independent republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
So if you enjoyed that, be sure to catch the whole show 10 to 1, Monday to Friday on Talk Radio, via DAB, online or via the Talk Radio app. If you have an opinion on the stories we cover, we'd love to hear from you. Call us 0344 499 1000 or tweet at Talk Radio during the show to have your say.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.